Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, if you travel up Biscayne Boulevard into Miami's Upper East Side or scroll through your Instagram feed, it's possible you've seen this massive Puerto Rican flag mural. It's the face of the Puerto Rican restaurant La Placita that opened in January and has been packed with customers ever since. Thousands have come to dine on its authentic Puerto Rican dishes and, of course, to take selfies outside with this giant flag. But the City of Miami's Historic and Environmental Preservation Board voted last week 5-3 against granting a permit that would allow for the Puerto Rican flag to stay. The next City Commission meeting where their appeal could be heard is April 11th. Now, we spoke with the CEO and president of La Placita, Joey Cancel, about a few weeks ago, and we talked about the popularity of the restaurant and their ongoing fight about this mural. We also got perspective from Cancel on Puerto Rico's ongoing recovery from Hurricane Maria. He was formerly the president of the Puerto Rican Economic Development Bank.
How do you define what La Placita is and what you're trying to do here?
It's a totally Puerto Rican cuisine restaurant, and our expectation is to bring to every Puerto Rican in Miami the Puerto Rican food that they were trying to get from any other part without having to travel to Puerto Rico.
The restaurant made a lot of news right away because you have this giant mural of the Puerto Rican flag. Who was behind that decision to do that? Why did you do it?
When we were talking about how to deploy the concept, we said that we want to make a statement. And we took very much care on the inside of the restaurant and try to get all these vibrant colors and Puerto Rican type of ambience. But at some point, with the help of Julian Hill, which is one of our investors, he's part of that movement with artist Hector Collazo. And he was the one bringing to the table that idea of, how about if we paint the flag on the building? Because this artist, it's doing that in Puerto Rico by a movement called 78 Towns Under One Flag. And now that movement evolved into mainland being called Plantando Bandera. So we were amazed by that idea. And we even brought the landlord to it. And he said, listen, if it's going to be for making more profit, I'm all the way in. So we made it happen.
And obviously it's become a popular spot. If anything, just to get the picture, it's become very Instagrammable, I guess is the word. I mean, what's it been like? What kind of, you know, how often do you see people out there taking a picture? Have you talked to them ever before, you know, what their stories are?
We've got the experience of getting people from all over the world that they are now, they want to have that picture here with the flag, and they come either from North U.S., the Northeast, or even from other parts of the world, like Spain. We have people from Spain saying, like, listen, we're here in Miami, and we got to take that photo from the Puerto Rican flag. We've been even invited to other states in mainland to continue evolving the concept and to remake this concept into the next Placita and the next Puerto Rican flag in a building. We're talking about Texas, we're talking about Tampa, we're talking about New York, we're talking about even Chicago, where great Puerto Rican communities are already present.
There was some controversy. I mean, the city said, hold on, you didn't get the permits, you might have to take it down. Where is that conversation right now? Has that been resolved?
Yeah, I gotta say that was a loophole in the process, and someone dropped the ball. But we're people of order. We like to comply. We like to be in full compliance with everything as we are right now. And unfortunately, some people say that we didn't have the permit. That's totally incorrect. We painted that flag in the presence of police officers and having the mayor, Francis Suarez, coming in to see the project developing. If we were doing that without a permit, that will be totally illegal, and someone's going to get arrested. That didn't happen. So we did have a permit. That was not the perfect permit due to a process that we are not the ones in charge of it, perhaps. But that loophole was generated, and now we are complying with it. Right now, we are in. We submitted all the information, renderings, pictures, everything to support our application for the certificate of appropriateness. And now we are waiting for the city to let us know a yay or a nay.
Just out of curiosity, if they say nay, are you prepared for that? What would happen next?
You know that we are prepared for that too. At the end, for every situation, there's an exception. I come from banking, and there's policies, there's procedures, but there are objectives. And once you're aiming at the objective, exceptions can be considered. And we're talking here about a bunch of alternatives that we have to work along with the city to make this compliant and to integrate the community, to integrate the other businesses, and to continue moving forward with our plan. And the plan, it's economic development. What we're trying to do here is to invest, generate income, create jobs, and get this boulevard more vibrant than ever before. Right now, if you look at our neighbors in terms of businesses, they're closed down. There used to be a flower shop. This hotel up front is still in renovation. It's partially renovated, but not functioning. We have another building on the other side, the 67th Street, completely vacant. We are doing the opposite. We're investing. We're creating jobs. People around, they like this because this was, suffering from a little depression.
Let's talk about the menu because, that was the big part of it, is to make it genuine. Genuine Puerto Rican. So tell us a little bit about what's on the menu, what is unique to the restaurant, and, I'd imagine you've heard from Puerto Ricans who say, okay, I feel like I'm at home, or are you hearing that?
Totally. Starting from the beginning, yeah, the menu is 100% Puerto Rican. Creations by Chef Jose Mendin, which is 100% Puerto Rican too. And from the last 20 years or more, has been relocated here in Miami and learning from every other cuisine infusions and so. As Puerto Rican as yourself, you know that the eternal battle with the Dominicans, it's in regards to el mofongo. Mangú for them, mofongo for us. Who is the best? Who make the best plantain mofongo? So in that quest, that's like the main dish in our menu. And that has a lot of other alternatives, from lechon asado down to bacalaitos, alcapurrias, everything that you as a Puerto Rican know that is tasteful, that you, once you got it, you really go back, like in the Ratatouille movie, go back in time and you go and say, oh my God, this is just like la abuelita. El arroz con habichuela, el arroz con gandules, los pasteles, everything that it's not translatable. You say here pasteles and people go like, oh, what is that? And you guys say, well, it's like a tamal, but it's not. So you got to come here and have the experience, and I hope you can go and fly to Puerto Rico and then compare that and say, listen, I got that experience in Miami. The same rice and beans, the same mofongo that I tasted in Puerto Rico.
You're listening to a conversation we had with Joey Cancel, CEO and president of the Puerto Rican restaurant La Placita. The restaurant has faced controversy for its mural of a Puerto Rican flag that was not approved by the city's Historic Preservation Board. Cancel is talking about their fight with the city, the restaurant's authentic food offerings, and the connections to his home country still recovering from Hurricane Maria. Let's return to the conversation.
You come from the banking side, as you mentioned, and back in 2013, then-Governor Alejandro García Padilla appointed you as the president of the Economic Development Bank of Puerto Rico. I mean, first of all, how do you go from that world and now you're in this one? That's a massive transition. How did that happen?
Well, it happened because of family. I have a good friend, which is Jorge Mendin Sr. He is Jose Mendin's father. And I know Jorge for more than 15 years now. And when the business was evolving and going through changes, he requested me. It was an invitation. He said, like, I need you in Miami tomorrow. And I cannot say no to my dear friend Jorge. So I just packed and came here on the 26th of December 2017. And since then, I've been like back and forth until I fully relocated here. And now we're on a deeply comprehensive expansion plan with new investors, and business is booming. I gotta say that I'm grateful for this opportunity, and managing the business side of these creative owners such as Jose Mendin and Sergio Navarro. It's been great. It's been a roller coaster, and sky's the limit.
You have such a deep understanding of Puerto Rico, its economics, its politics, and we knew all the trouble that the island was in before Hurricane Maria. But, I mean, how do you describe to people who don't know or don't understand that what Puerto Rico's been going through over the last 10, 20 years?
Well, it's a really complex financial and now infrastructural situation. From people that don't know Puerto Rico, I gotta say in a few words that it's the last colony of the United States, and as a U.S. territory, we have all the benefits when it comes to citizenship and when it comes to having, you know, all the U.S. protection, but we lack of other, you know, privileges as voting for the president. And it's a really complex definition of what we are. I resume it as a colony because it's already like stated by the Supreme Court, but it's not a state. It's a commonwealth. It's an island, but it's not part of the continent. So, long story short, I think that Puerto Rico, it's now on the really verge of a change when it comes to its politics and the way it's going to be managed from this point forward, due to the fact that there is a fiscal control board right now ruling over Puerto Rico, and that is a game changer when it comes to how Commonwealth finances and the development plan is going to be deployed along with the oversight of the Congress. So it is a changing environment inside out of Puerto Rico right now.
And then after Hurricane Maria, I mean, how do you describe what, and you go back from time to time, what it's been more than a year, but how's the recovery? How are people doing? A lot of people left. Are they coming back?
Well, the recovery has been really slow when it comes to other states with big environmental situations, such as in New Orleans and Katrina and other ones. The recovery has been really, really slow. And now the latest information is that President Trump is redirecting funds that were designated for recovery, building the wall program. So that will also hurt Puerto Rico recovery in a timely manner or timely fashion. So I think that we had a financial hurricane first, and then came a environmental hurricane. Those two together have, you know, placed Puerto Rico like 10 years behind, and all that diaspora or people going outside of Puerto Rico to relocate and to search for alternatives, jobs, and a better quality of life is uncertain. Well, maybe the government must do whatever it takes to attract those talents back to the island. Because it's a simple fact. When us Puerto Ricans, as being U.S. citizens, we can travel to the U.S. only by our license, a driver's license. So engineers, architects, CPAs, they have their credentials and their their licenses to go into the States and continue having a job and enforce their professions. So that becomes an alternative, and even doctors, the same thing. So that becomes a bridge to get all of these well-prepared professionals outside of Puerto Rico.
Let me finish with this. I'd imagine from time to time you run into Puerto Ricans who had to leave because of the hurricane, and they come here, and I picture, and look, I this brings back memories too, is that this has to be special for them. It's a taste of home, and bring, you know, it's comfortable. But I wonder how many times you run into people, what do they tell you? What kind of stories they tell you?
Yeah, indeed. As you described, that taste of home, it's every day resembled, every day, you know, highlighted. They like the feeling of the warmth. Most of our servers are Puerto Rican, and they feel like they're in a little place of Puerto Rico here in Miami.
That was Joey Cancel, president and CEO of La Placita. You can see photos of our trip to La Placita and read more about the controversy facing that mural on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Well, that's our program for today, this Thursday, March 14th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Thursday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.